Well, good morning and welcome to our Sunday morning service. We're glad that you have joined us this morning. We certainly hope that you and your family are doing well and everyone is safe and everyone is healthy. We're going to start the service this morning by reading the 23rd Psalm, and then we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's look to the Lord and ask God's blessing on our services this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we are thankful for your goodness to us. We are thankful for your mercy and for your grace. We come before you today and we ask that you would bless in a very real way. As the service takes place this morning, speak to our hearts and draw each of us closer to you in a very real and meaningful way. We pray for those who may be watching this morning that have never received Jesus as their Savior. We pray that Holy Spirit, you'd move upon their hearts and cause them to realize that there's a God in heaven who loves them, who cares for them, who sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die and pay for their sin on the cross. And that this day they might be gloriously saved, they'd come to know Christ as their Savior. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray again for the leadership of our country, that you would give them wisdom and skill and understanding as they lead the nation. We pray for so many who are working on a vaccine and on medications for this virus. Lord, that you would give them wisdom and skill in developing these medications. We pray for our local leaders, state and local officials, even in our town, that you would just guide and direct them to give them wisdom. And for so many that are going to work each and every day and filling their jobs, that you would just protect them. Thank you for their willingness to keep places open and help us to be appreciative of all that they do. Be with every family, watch over them, be with our children, to just meet their needs as well. And give us courage, Lord, not fear in times like these. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, it's good to have all of you with us this morning. And I just want to take a moment before Aaron makes a couple of announcements just to thank so many of you that have been so faithful and all that you've done. Thank you for the many notes or the phone calls of encouragement as we just continue to move forward with ministry as we're dealing with unprecedented times. But let's just keep one another in prayer. Let's just encourage one another. And let's, with great hope and faith, look forward to the day that we can meet here together and not on Facebook. But we're thankful for the technology that we have and the ability to do what we're able to do.
There are several great ways for you to stay connected during this time. One of which is checking out our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com. Every week we post the most recent bulletin. So with all the up-to-date information, you can go to mountgreylockbaptist.com and check that bulletin every single week. We're also posting our sermons from Sundays and from Wednesday nights right on the website. Another thing that we're doing, our children's team is working very hard. Every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, they're meeting on Zoom, and they're bringing a junior church right to your home. If your kids aren't connected with that yet, please let us know. We'd be more than happy to get you the information so they can join that call. The kids are loving the program. It's every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Youth group, Summit Teens, we're meeting on Facebook Live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. And then Ascend Young Adults, right on their Facebook page, Facebook Live at 8:30 p.m. on Tuesday nights. Wednesday nights at 7, we're meeting for our Bible study. And all of these are great ways that you can stay connected during this time. And we're looking forward to where we're going to be able to meet again.
All right. And then finally, we're hoping in the next week or so to have a Sunday night service where we include one of our missionaries from or who is serving the Lord somewhere in the world and how they're dealing with this COVID virus on the mission field. So look forward to that. That's coming up soon. All right, that's it for our announcements this morning. We hope that you enjoy the message and that it's a great blessing to you.
Thank you again for spending this time with us today. We will be looking at John's Gospel, chapter number 10. So if you have a Bible with you, I'd encourage you to open it, turn to John chapter 10. We've been spending the last few weeks studying the great I am statements of Jesus. We saw his statement, I am the bread. Then we looked at John chapter 14, where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Last time, we saw John chapter 11, where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Well, today, we're in John's Gospel, again, as I said, chapter number 10. And as we think about these statements, the significance in each of them is that Jesus is revealing something about himself. Now, this revealed truth about who Jesus is has an impact on you and on me. You see, the reality of who Christ is the most important fact that we have to come to terms with. Who Jesus is not only affects the way we live right here and now, but it determines our ultimate eternal destiny. So let's listen and learn from the words of Jesus, John chapter 10, and we're going to begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, I thank you so much that we have this time to study the Bible. Lord, I need your help as I explain the teaching of the passage, and we all need your help as we make the application to our lives. So please lead us and guide us today. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Well, here in John chapter 10, we see this illustration. And the illustration would have been very familiar to the listeners, and it's quite familiar to us. It's the picture of a shepherd and his flock of sheep. Now, as we look, we're going to look more carefully at this illustration, but what I want us to do is just zero in a little bit on verse number 9. That's going to be the key verse for us today. So look again, and let's read once more John 10, verse number 9, where Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Now, earlier in the passage, Jesus mentions, if you remember from what we read, that there's a keeper of the gate. And that keeper of the gate would open the door to him as the shepherd. But here, he changes the illustration just a little bit. And what he describes here is he wants to give greater emphasis. And he's not just talking about a door or a gate for the sheepfold that would be opened or closed to him. But what he's saying here is, I am not only the shepherd of the sheep, he says, but I am the door. Now, there's a picture we have from the ancient times. It's really quite a beautiful picture. So if you could imagine with me today a herd of sheep, or a flock of sheep on a hillside maybe, and they found pasture, and there's a shepherd there leading them. Now, the shepherd spends the whole day, all of his waking hours, caring for his sheep. He's hurting them. He's leading them. He's correcting them. And he's protecting them. Now, when the evening hours come, this shepherd is bringing the sheep to a safe area. Of course, there's so many dangers that the sheep would face. So he's going to bring them to a safe place. He's going to lead them into an area that's maybe has some kind of a barrier, like a stone wall surrounding it, or some kind of a stockade fence that's been constructed to protect the sheep. Now, in this fenced-in area, or this stone-surrounded area, there's going to be one point of access, one place, a single point of entry. Now, the shepherds almost never left their sheep. So as they settle in for the evening, the shepherd is not going to simply swing a gate closed and go retire to his home and get a good night's sleep in his bed. That's not what's going to happen. But rather, in a display of utmost devotion to his flock, the shepherd is going to go to the entry of that sheepfold, in that opening, and he is going to make his bed there. He's going to sit down right at the entrance. Anything that's going to try to come in and harm the flock is going to have to first pass by him. And any wandering sheep that thought they might just want to go out for an evening stroll into danger, they are also going to have to pass by him. You see, what happens is the shepherd actually becomes the door of the sheep. So as we have this picture in our minds, what are the realities that Jesus is teaching us? What are we supposed to learn from this? Now, fortunately, we don't have to guess because Jesus explains it to us very clearly right in this passage. Notice in this verse that we focused on, verse number 9, that there's three emphases here. In verse number 9, he says, "I am the door." So we just saw that picture. We understand that. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Now, these three emphases, he shall be saved, he shall go in and out, and he will find pasture. I'd like us to consider these today in the form of three questions. So three simple questions as you and I think about Jesus as our door and we are his sheep. And the questions are these: who will you trust? Who will you follow? And where will you feed? Who will you trust? Who will you follow? And where will you feed? Well, think about the first question: who will you trust? That's embodied in that statement Jesus says, that if any person will come by me, if he'll enter in through me as the door, he shall be saved. He'll be saved. Salvation is really and ultimately a question of trust. Now, if we back up in the passage and look at the very beginning, Jesus talks really kind of confrontationally about this idea of trust. Look what he says in verse number 1, John 10, verse number 1. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, don't miss just how confrontational this statement is. What Jesus is saying is he's setting himself up as the shepherd, and everyone else that would seek to lead them, everyone else that would seek to instruct them in anything that was different from what Jesus was saying, Jesus is calling them thieves and robbers. Now, who is he talking about? Well, if you study the New Testament, if you've been reading in the Gospel of John, you understand that these thieves and robbers that Jesus is speaking of, they are actually the religious leaders of the day. They're the scribes. They are the Pharisees. They're the teachers of the law, the ones who make sure that the people are following the customs and the traditions that have been passed down from their fathers. And Jesus very boldly says, "I am the door." And if anyone else tries to lead you, you have to understand that they are thieves and they are robbers. They cannot be trusted. Wow. You know, this was confrontational in its day. And honestly, this could be quite confrontational for some of us even today. Because what Jesus is saying is this. He's saying, I am greater than your traditions. I am greater than your heritage. I am greater than any belief system that you have come to expect. You see, it's very difficult for people to abandon closely held beliefs, even when sometimes they are confronted with very clear evidence that what they believe is just not true. Sometimes it could be our family history, it could be our tradition that has actually a tighter hold on us and more authority in our lives than the very words of God, than the very words of Christ. But listen, no matter how dearly held your belief might be, or my belief might be, if it is simply not true, it cannot save you. It cannot save us. Jesus says that these false beliefs, they're thieves, they're robbers, and that he is the only way to salvation. Now notice how he describes his salvation. We'll read on into verse number 3. So he says there's a true shepherd and he will be the door of the sheep. And to him, verse number 3, the porter openeth, and that's the gatekeeper, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Did you see the progression here about how Jesus saves us? What happens is his voice calls, we hear his voice, and then we know him personally. It's kind of funny that sheep have actually gotten a bad rap over the years. I've heard plenty of illustrations or messages where people say, you know, we're compared to sheep, and sheep are pretty dumb animals. And I guess there is some truth to that, and they're definitely skittish and fearful, and they've got plenty of shortcomings. We'll look at those in a few minutes. But you know, I was doing a little bit of studying about sheep, and I found that there's a recent study that actually has some conclusions that sheep are a little bit smarter than we give them credit for. But particularly in one area, this study indicated that sheep have the ability to remember people's faces for years. They can learn to respond to voices, and they even can be trained to respond to their names. Now, you probably already knew that. You probably know more about sheep than I do, but I found that fascinating. And especially for the reason that Jesus is speaking here, when he says that they shall be saved, he's speaking of this in relational terms. And I was encouraged to find out that these sheep are relational creatures. They know their shepherd, and they are known by their shepherd. If you've been following these messages where Jesus says, I am, you'll notice that each and every time we are pointing to the relational aspect of Christianity. Because the fact is this, the heart of Christian belief is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So the question this morning that we have to begin with is, who will you trust? Have you entered into a relationship with Jesus? Have you been saved? It ultimately comes down to that question of trust. Can you truly say, the Lord is my shepherd? Not a shepherd, not the shepherd, but do you have that personal relationship with Christ? Have you heard his voice? You could be watching this message right now. You could be listening right now, and there could be something in your heart that's the sound of the Holy Spirit, not in a miraculous or supernatural way, but in a quiet stillness of your heart, the voice of Jesus could be calling to you and saying, yes, I want to be your Savior. I want to be your shepherd. I can save you from your sins. He desires to have a relationship with us. Do you hear his voice today? Will you respond and become his child? Well, what happens next, as we've seen these three questions, first of all, who will you trust? But what happens next is, after this call of his voice to salvation and to trust him, it's followed by a call to obedience. And that's the next question, who will you follow? You saw here that the sheep hear the voice, the sheep follow him, and then he controls access to where they go in, to when they go in, and when they come out. He says, I am the door. He says, if a man enters in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out. We are called, once we believe on Christ, we are called to follow him, to give our lives to him, to surrender to him in obedience. Now, but we have to get the order right. A lot of people think that the Christian life begins by following, and then we learn to trust, but it's really the opposite. We first trust Christ as our good and gracious Savior, and then we follow him in obedience. Following is built on the foundation of trusting. Obedience comes from believing, and action follows our faith. You see, if I know God, if I'm confident that his plan for me is good, if I rest and am assured of his love for me, then I have no problem submitting to his will and obeying his word. Now, part of the function of the shepherd as the door of the sheep is to control access. It is to moderate the behavior of the sheep. So, if you're like me in this modern age that we live in, you may bristle a little bit at the idea of being closed in or fenced in or guarded by anything. You see, above all else in our culture today, we value personal freedom. In a time where we are under stay-at-home orders, a lot of us are struggling with that. We don't like being confined. We don't like being told where we can and cannot go. But in a larger sense, in a deeper sense, that's how we tend to approach all of our lives. At least I do, and probably you're very similar. We want to have control. Choice is king. Above everything else, we value our personal freedom. Self-discovery is the guiding principle of our day. And so I come to this point in the message and I say, Jesus has called us. First, he calls us into a relationship, but then he says, but will you follow me? Will you obey me? And some might be listening and say, aha, I knew it. I knew where this was all heading. You're talking about relationship of and all of that, but I know how you religious types are. That was just a setup, because ultimately all you want to do is control my life. Well, a lot of people feel that way. And first of all, I would say that unfortunately, over the years, people have used religion and church as a method of controlling people. And that's wrong. However, on the other hand, when we come to Christ, we understand that he is Lord, he is Master, he is God. He knows what's best for our lives. We are saying, when we surrender our lives to him, Jesus, you are in control. Not my will, but yours be done. Consider this. There's really two ways of looking at the world that are in contrast here. First of all is the common view of our day. Trust yourself. Follow your instincts. Get some good advice. Do some reading. Do a little bit of research. But ultimately, you need to make your own autonomous decisions. Live your truth. Many people follow this thinking. And I, as a Christian, can also start to fall into this type of thinking sometimes. When I like to listen to my most trusted advisor, me. But as a society and as individuals, we've got to ask the question, if we could kind of step out of ourselves and almost look at ourselves and ask the question, listen, honestly, how's that working out for you? Being the Lord of your own universe, being the God of your own existence, making your own choices, living life on your terms, discovering yourself. How's it working out for us? I think if we're honest with ourselves, we'll realize that when we live by our own rules, we may have short-term success, we may enjoy the moment, but ultimately, it brings us to ruin, it brings us into danger. But the second view, the Christian view, is a more humbling view. And it's also a more limiting view. It requires me to realize that as Jesus is teaching here, I have more in common with sheep than I'd like to admit. The prophet Isaiah put it this way in Isaiah 53. He said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And the writer of Proverbs says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." See, the Bible tells us, like sheep, that we are vulnerable. Sometimes we're unaware of the danger that we face. Also, like sheep, not only are we vulnerable, but we're prone to wandering. We're always looking for something better. The grass looks a little bit greener over there. But unfortunately, the pasture that looks greener can actually lead us to a dark and dangerous place. So the question is, who will you follow? Now, if you're a Christian, you've already said to Jesus, "I trust you to be my Savior." Now, will you trust him to lead you in the paths of life? Will you trust him in obedience? Now, the wonderful thing is we can trust him. He is good. Is he going to lead us to change? Yes. Will there be things that he wants me to change in my life that don't feel good to me? Yes, of course there will be. But when you know his plan is good, when you know his love for you is sure and certain, there is nothing that he asks of us that we cannot surrender to. And that brings us to the most wonderful part of all. It begins by answering the question, who will I trust? And I say, yes, Jesus, I'll trust you. Who will I follow? Yes, Jesus, I will follow you. And then finally, where will I be fed? Because once we trust him and once we follow him, we're ultimately and wonderfully fed by him. He says in this verse that we will find pasture. See, ultimately, that's what the sheep want. Every decision they make, every place they go, even if they try to get out of the sheepfold, even if they're looking to wander off to a greener pasture, what they're looking for is satisfaction. What they're looking for is somewhere where they can feed freely and enjoy the blessings of the pasture. And Jesus invites us not just to eternal life in heaven, but he invites us to an abundant life right now. In fact, look at verse number 10. After he says we find pasture, he says in verse number 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Again, he warns us, be careful. But now he says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Abundant life. The abundant life is described really beautifully in the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a wonderful passage, but sadly, even some Christians miss out on this level of abundant living. The word abundance is really described in that psalm where it says, "My cup runneth over. I don't just have barely enough to get by. My life isn't a series of chasing this and chasing that, but what God has done in my life," and I'm not speaking materially, although there are material blessings that God gives us, but in this deep soulful satisfaction that only Christ can give, my cup is running over. And the testimony of every Christian who has answered the question, yes, I will trust you, Jesus. Yes, I will follow you. We respond and say, I am being fed in your green pastures. Yes, I am enjoying the abundance of life. My cup is running over. It's possible to trust Christ for salvation, but never trust him enough for full satisfaction. Now, Jesus warns, as you saw again, that there are thieves and there are life destroyers out there. And what happens is there are pastures out there that we can choose to feed in. There are places and people that we can go to look for fulfillment, to look for the food that our soul longs for. But the fact is this, these are not the good green pastures of the Lord, but these are poison pastures. They promise fun, they promise fulfillment, but they only lead to brokenness and emptiness. And we could go down a list of all the things that make empty promises to us in life. But I've summed them up for the message today just in a few simple thoughts. There are people who live in the pasture of materialism, looking to accumulate money, looking to accumulate property, looking to accumulate things, hoping that it will give them fulfillment. There are others who live in the pasture of pleasure, and they go from the next adventure of life to the next conquest, be that professionally, be that recreationally, or maybe even relationally. They're going after all of these things and all of these experiences to give them some kind of a high. Sadly, some even turn to substances like alcohol or narcotics to try to give them momentary pleasure. And they feed in these pastures. Or they live for envy, never being satisfied with who they are, or they live for pride that ultimately brings their own destruction and insecurity. Each of these pastures, these poison pastures, promises us a level of satisfaction. And temporarily we experience it, but each has its own unique poison to the soul. But Jesus says, I am the door to a life with no disappointment. I am the door to lasting joy and happiness. I am the door to complete fulfillment. I am the door to eternal life. So will you trust Christ? And I'm speaking whether you are someone who is saved, born again, or you're even an unbeliever today. Will you trust Christ? Will you follow him in obedience? Will you feed from the good pastures that he leads us to? Make that decision today. If you're a believer already, will you allow Christ to be the door to your decisions? Will you allow him to be the gate by which you come in and go out? And if you've never trusted Christ, would you walk through that door today? Maybe you need to let go of some tradition that you've held on to. Maybe you need to let go of some religious experience that you've had that you've elevated above the truth of God's word. Maybe there's some family hold on you that says, well, if I were to let go of that and believe in Christ, what would people say? What would people think? Listen, Jesus said he is the only door to salvation. Will you trust him today? The Bible says that anyone, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, you can let go of your pride, you can let go of your religion, and you can say a prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've broken your law, but I believe that you died and rose again for me. And I put my full faith and my full trust in you. I would invite you to do that right now in a short prayer. There's no magic words, I like to say, but the fact is the simple prayer of our heart is, Lord, I am a lost sinner like a wandering sheep, but you died and you rose again for me. And I put my trust in you as the only way. Would you do that right now? If you do, please let us know of that decision that you've made so that we can continue to pray for you. Let's bow our heads and close in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We've seen so many great truths. We thank you that you are the door, that we can trust you, that we can follow you, that we can be fed by you. I pray that you'd bless us as we go from this time. Encourage our hearts, strengthen us. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
We are so glad that you've taken the time to join us today. If you've been blessed by the message, or if you have placed your faith in Jesus today, we want to hear from you. Maybe you still have questions about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Please let us know, and we would love to answer those questions from the Bible. We would also be happy to provide you with the Bible and other free Christian resources to help you grow in your faith. You can email us at info@mountgreylockbaptist.com or send us a message on Facebook. You can also call us at 413-662-2107. We would love to hear from you, and our desire is to be a blessing to you in any way that we can. God bless.